I appreciate very much this opportunity to be with you here at Little Union. This is my first time, although I've heard about Little Union for many, many years, and we appreciate Brother Ronald coming and being with us over in Mississippi all those years, and this is my first time at the Florida Fellowship meeting, so I'm doubly blessed, I trust, to be here, and I appreciate this opportunity to be with you, and I appreciate your prayers as we stand before you. We appreciate very much that which has gone before, and I just want to mention that's a comforting thought, to know that God is in front of us and behind us. You know, the children of Israel, as they came up to the Red Sea, had Pharaoh's chariots approaching them from behind. And so they had the Red Sea in front, Pharaoh's host behind, and it seemed like they were boxed in with no way out. Have you been there? Even though you don't think there's a way out, it's time to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because that angel that was in front of them went behind them, and it was darkness over Pharaoh's chariots, and it was light to the camps of Israel. And so neither one of them went to either direction all night. And then the Lord opened up the Red Sea and destroyed Pharaoh's hosts. It's a comforting thought to know that the Lord's in front of us and behind us and provides light. And you know, this being the afternoon service, sometimes we need something to keep us awake, don't we? When I was in college, I remember I had an instructor. Sometimes we had to give presentations, and the instructor told me my voice was just right to put him to sleep. And I trust that that won't be the case this afternoon. But the Lord be our helper. I'd like to call your attention to the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. I'd like to bring a verse to your attention in Philippians chapter 4. This is a very joyful book to me to read, the book of Philippians, and it's amazing to me that it was written by someone who's in jail. We sing a song, "Prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there." And as we get to the conclusion of this book, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I'd like to read this verse to you. Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Very outstanding verse. When I read the Bible, and I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I look for the action in the verses that I read. You know what the action is in Philippians 4, verse 8? Think on these things. That's the action, to think. You know, does it matter what we think about? I mean, I don't know what you're thinking about. You may be saying, "I sure hope he's short-winded." And I'll trust you, I'm thinking about that too. I want to be short-winded, but we'll see where the Lord leads us. But we don't know what one another are thinking about. So does it really matter what we think about? Just so long as we're surrounded by the right people, in the right situations, just so long as we're doing those things, does it really matter what we think about? This verse tells me it does. And you want to know why it does? Is because even though I can't read your minds, the Lord can read your minds. Amen. Do you realize that your very thoughts and the intentions of your hearts, He knows? We heard that already. That's right. And when the Lord was born into this world, they said in Luke chapter 1 that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. I would have had a hard time worshiping with Pharisees and Sadducees. I have a hard time getting along with hypocrites. But you know, if you were in the presence of those men, from the outward appearance, they would seem like they were keeping the law. But Jesus said they're like whited sepulchres, which look good on the outside, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones. You see, those people had no evidence against the Pharisees for their wrongdoing. But the Lord did. The Lord brought that evidence to light, didn't He? He had conversations with people when they didn't say a word. He read their thoughts. He revealed the thoughts of many hearts, didn't He? And so we see that it does matter what you think about. But think about this. James says, lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. You see that chain of events? It all started with a thought. Thoughts do matter. And so here he says, think on these things. He didn't just say, you know, I think it's important for us to stop and think sometimes, don't you? That we don't get in a hurry and make haste. But we stop and think. I would say that that's the definition of meditation, isn't it? To stop and think, that's meditation. But you know, the Bible doesn't teach you to meditate like they do over in the East Country, where you do meditation and Zen and all those things. That's not what the Bible tells you to meditate on, is it? Psalm 1 describes the blessed man. And that blessed man is delighted in the law of the Lord. And in the Lord's law does he meditate day and night. That's 24/7, isn't it? Day and night. There's not a time in your day where you should not be attempting to think about God's law and His Word. That's a full-time job. Maybe some think we've been rocked in the cradle of grace, but I'll tell you, it's a full-time job to serve the Lord. Because even when you're driving to work, even when you're sitting and waiting in line at Walmart to get your oil changed, wherever you might be, that's a perfect opportunity to meditate on God's law. We ought to take advantage of those opportunities. You know, with the inventions of technology, we do everything so fast that we don't have time to stop and think. Those things come slow to me. I know y'all are probably quicker than I am, but it takes me a long time to formulate a thought that's worth anything. Well, you know, that's interesting. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul tells Timothy, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. When I was a young minister and I'd try to study or preach on a subject, I'd go to every place in the Bible where that word was and try to, I guess, arrive at a message that way. But you know, the most profitable way to study the Lord's Word and to present it to the Lord's people is in meditation. And the reason for that is God can connect verses that you'd have never seen connected before. And He can bring things to your understanding that you never understood before. Meditate on these things. Stop and think about these things. So let's think on these things for a little while. You know, people's thoughts are hidden, but you can get a really good idea about what they're thinking about when you talk to them for a while. I've been around people that can find all kinds of ways to make money. Clearly to me, money is on their mind. I've been around people that can tell you every statistics of every sports player that's ever played. Clearly, sports are on their mind. I've been around people that have all kinds of solutions for our government, how to get this nation on track. Clearly, Fox News is on their mind. And I tell you, although we can't read people's minds, we can put some thing two and two together, and we can kind of get it figured out. But I'm thankful to be around people that, like this weekend, where we can think about things that are true and honest and lovely and good report for all weekend. I'm thankful to be around people like that. I trust this is on your mind like it is on my mind, that we can think about things like this. But let's consider what he says for us to think about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on that. You know, that doesn't mean think on the things you think are true. You know, there's a lot of things I like to believe. I would like to believe that everything I say and do is right. But that's not the truth. I didn't expect to get an amen out of that, so let me rephrase. I don't know y'all real well. You don't know me that well. I didn't think that I'd get one of those. But Brother Mike and Brother David, everything they say and do is not always right. I know that's shocking, but And the same goes for all of us. We're all sinners in God's sight, and so we don't always do the right thing.
Amen.
But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things that we want to believe, but they're not the truth. But what the Bible says is the truth, that's the truth. And think on those things, rather on the things we want to think are true. Finally, brethren, think on those things that are true and those things that are honest. You know, folks could say a lot about what you believe, but they shouldn't be able to say anything about your character. You know, there are some that tried to accuse Daniel and tried to say he was, find a way in which he was doing something illegal or wrong, and they couldn't find it. And so they had to accuse him on those things which he'd prayed and believed. There should be no way for someone to find you doing something that's illegal or wrong. Think on those things that are honest. We could find ways to get a lot of money, but would you like to live with regret the rest of your life? Why don't we think on things that are honest? He says, whatsoever things are just. There's a lot of things that seem right, but aren't right. There is one just way, and there's one just Lord, and those are the things that we should think about, not the things that we think are right. Then he says, whatsoever things are pure. Have you ever been around somebody that it seems like every situation that they're in, they find something pure about it? Because unto the pure, all things are pure. That's what Titus 1 verse 15 says. But you know, the rest of that verse says, but to the unbelieving, there is nothing pure. I've been around those kinds of folks too. And I'll tell you the one I prefer to be around. Those that find the purity in all things. Whatsoever things are lovely. These are all very positive things, aren't they? You know, we could find a lot of negative things to think about. These are good things. Whatsoever things are lovely, attractive, pleasant. I'll tell you, it's lovely to see a smiling face, isn't it? I mean, I've heard Elder Sam Bryant say he likes when the congregation smiles at him. I like that too. But you know, there are some things that are lovely for us to think about. I like to think about the one who is altogether lovely, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's our husband. And that's the way a bride ought to view her husband, altogether lovely. Even though husbands like me are not altogether lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Good report. You can get a lot of bad reports in the world, can't you? Turn on the news, newspaper. Go talk to people about what's going on. There's a lot of bad reports you could get. They sent 12 spies into Canaan's land, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, brought back the beautiful fruits of it, yet what did they bring back? An evil report. I'd rather think of the good report. And isn't the message that we have here good news, good tidings, gospel? That's what it's supposed to be, good tidings, good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Isn't it wonderful to experience a spiritual church meeting and to go back and listen to the tape of the singing and the preaching and relive that moment? Get back to that in your feeble attempt to do. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy thinking about the times of praise, because there's only one that we've met here to praise, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think on these things. But I'd like, for a little while this afternoon, don't want to take much time, for us to consider him who endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. I think it's important to stop and think about him. And if I can't keep you awake, the lights will. I believe that we could see that everything in this verse that we're supposed to think about fits him. The things that are true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The things that are honest. Who determined what is honest and what isn't? He did. He determined what was good. whatsoever things are just. You know, He is the just one. He is the just who suffered for the unjust. That's Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things are pure, is there any one more pure, holy, harmless, and undefiled than Jesus Christ? Whatsoever things are lovely, and He's altogether lovely, He's altogether good. Whatsoever things are of good report, there's no greater name for us to sing about than Jesus Christ. There's no better message to bring to you than what He did for us. And in thinking about His life, do you realize that He, when He was born into this world, He was born of a virgin, but Joseph didn't know that. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 1 that He saw that Mary was with child and they were espoused, but they hadn't come together in marriage yet. And He was a just man and He didn't want to make her a public example, so He was minded to put her away privately. But it says, while He thought on these things, He stopped and thought about some things that were on His mind. And sometimes we'll get in a situation where things are weighing on our mind and we just can't think about anything else. And that troubled Him. It bothered Him. He thought that He had completely misunderstood Mary, thought that she was a good woman, and thought that she had been unfaithful. But do you realize that was not a moment to be upset about? Before we get into that, in Luke chapter 24, in fact, I'll turn to that just so I make sure I get it right. In Luke chapter 24, there was a time when Jesus appeared to His disciples, and we heard about this last night, after the two on the road to Emmaus. And He appeared to them in verse 36 and said, "Peace be unto you." Now, why did He say that? Because that's what they needed at that very moment. Because notice the very next thing, verse 37 of Luke 24. "But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said, 'Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?'" Just like Joseph was troubled by what was going on between him and Mary, His own disciples were troubled at seeing the sight they saw. Now let me ask you this. Given what we know today, were either one of those occasions worth being troubled about? Those weren't occasions to be troubled about. Those are some of the greatest occasions on history, aren't they? That Jesus is conceived and born of a virgin. And that the resurrected Lord is meeting with you in your worship service. Why would you be troubled at those things? But in their human nature, they were troubled, upset, afraid, scared. Why are we ever troubled? Why do thoughts ever arise in our hearts? If we're like the Israelites, Red Sea in front of us, Pharaoh's host behind us, the devil all around us, why are we troubled? The Lord's going before us. The Lord's our rearward. The Lord is all around us. And He's given you the weapons of your warfare. He's given us everything we need. There's no reason to be afraid. You know, perfect love casteth out fear, doesn't it? I wish I had that kind of love for the Lord. He says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." Ooh, He truly was the Lord resurrected. But as we consider Christ, I want to leave you this afternoon with a thought. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. And as we read this, I know you're going to say, "What in the world does this have to do with Christ?" Bear with me. 2 Peter chapter 2. He says in verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that live after should live ungodly. He gave us three situations where God poured out his wrath and his judgment. The angels that sin, the old world that was perished with the flood, Noah was saved, and Sodom and Gomorrah. What do y'all think about all three of those different people, different situations? We don't really think highly of them, do we? Think that they're sinners. They got what was coming to them. They deserve God's wrath. God in his divine justice did the right thing. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, we read about some branches that have been broken off. And we could talk about what that means, but I want you to see what he says in verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now, what is the phrase in common in 2 Peter 2 and Romans 11? God spared not. He spared not the natural branches, spared not the old world that flood, the angels that sinned, Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't spare them. Take heed lest he spare not thee. What does that have to do with Christ? Turn back with me to Romans chapter 8. And I like to read verse 32 of Romans 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. This is the thought that I want you to think about. God put his son on the level of the angels of sin, the old world that flooded, Sodom and Gomorrah, the branches. In this phrase, he spared not. I believe all those others got what was coming to them. Not him. He died as a thief hanging on a cross. Died as a common murderer would die. That's what Barabbas was going to get. He was despised, rejected of men, forsaken of his father. God spared him not. Boy, thoughts like that are powerful, aren't they? Amen. They will move you, won't they? In a way that no other thought would. That God would put his own son. We've had children. Would we do this to our children? Put them on the same level as Sodom and Gomorrah? The world that was flooded, which that world, by the way, every thought and imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. In fact, God is not in all the wicked thoughts. So they deserve God's divine wrath and justice. What about him? Jesus Christ did not deserve that. But he got that. What did he say? He delivered him up for us all. Got that for us. That's the thought. Think about that. God loved you so much that he'd send his only son and spare him not, so that you would be blessed with the inheritance. You would be raised up. You would be in his presence. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And I love the rest of this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Why would we be troubled? Why would we make haste? Why would we turn our back to the enemy? If God would not spare his own son, what should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But he... How shall not God, with him, with Christ, also freely give us all things? Everything that we need. You know, sometimes we question God, don't we? Could you imagine being Joseph and being in prison after doing the right thing time and time again? I get discouraged and think, well, there must be some misunderstanding. I obviously don't know the right way to serve the Lord. But we need to be patient. We need to be long-suffering. We need to endure these afflictions and consider him, Jesus Christ, lest we be wearied and faint in our own minds. In closing, I'd like to take you back to Philippians 4. I'd like to read the previous two verses. Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing. You see why? There's nothing to be worried about. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. No matter what your condition, no matter what your circumstances, you always have something to be thankful for. Amen. You always have something to give thanks to God for. Amen. Even if you're on, you've been afflicted all your life and on your deathbed and everyone's turned and left you. The Lord experienced that. They all forsook Him and fled. He was persecuted for things He didn't do. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what you and I need, is peace. And He says, if you're not careful for anything, but in everything you give thanks to God, the peace of God, which is better than any understanding, any natural wisdom, or anything that you might be blessed to have, I'd rather have that peace, wouldn't you? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, in the battle of our minds, which our minds, is that's a daily battle, to get your thoughts in the right direction, the battle of your mind, you need that helmet of salvation. You need the helmet, that hope of salvation. He says the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, to be able to be careful for nothing, but to always give thanks unto God. I trust that you'll think on these things. Thank you for a good attention.